You guys can do better than that, can you? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. Now, church, I know we are, maybe we are not used to clapping hands in church, right? But, you know, praise the Lord. We can always praise God, right? We can express our praise and adoration to God. And it was it's amazing to be here and to be able to report back. We should thank the Perspectives organization that makes me come back more often. And last year, I got a chance to teach Perspectives. They invited me back. And so hopefully I'll get to come at least, even if I don't preach all the time, I can worship. But if, you know, Matt allows me to preach, I'll preach, okay? But we're really, really glad to be here and to be partners with you, and thank you so much. These 32 years have been amazing years for Lynette and myself to just watch God do so many things in our lives and through our lives. Because missions is so different from what it used to be. And it's so important for us to begin to recognize what God is doing in our world today. And I think I said this last time. His passion is that one day that the land of the earth will be covered with the glory of God. So it covers as the waters covers the sea, even so the glory of God will cover the earth. Amen? It'll be as wide as the ocean, as deep as the sea, and I always add, as high as the waters touch the horizons of our world. And so his glory needs to be everywhere. Amen? Amen. And so I think that when the glory of the knowledge of the glory of God is everywhere, people will have access to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe a worshiping community everywhere, a worshiping community everywhere, it makes the gospel accessible to every man, woman, boy, and girl. And in some parts of the world, this worshiping community is gathering every day now. In China, people gather every day. In India, people are beginning to gather every day. There's a group of people that didn't know anything about the church. It was a completely unreached people group. And one of the missionaries from our movement decided that they were going to go preach, minister to that village. And they said, you know, the best way to reach this village is to probably teach them how to read and write. And so, of course, they took the adult literacy program and began to teach them how to read and write. And as they were learning to read and write, they used the Bible as the material to read. And so soon they began to ask meanings of words, and the whole village came to know Jesus Christ. And after a result of that, they were looking at the Bible, and they read in the Bible, and they gathered daily to fellowship with one another, to pray, and to break bread, and to study the apostolic doctrines. And so they have started to gather daily. And as a result of that pastor's ministry, there's over 100 villages in his district that are actually worshiping daily. Isn't that an amazing thing? And he's teaching us, this guy who's never been to a theological seminary, doesn't have any big degree, an ordinary barefoot guy, that what God wants is that his church gather daily so God's glory is everywhere. So now, last year we mobilized our churches to actually go back to their churches and ask their families to worship daily in their homes when they do their worship for family prayer. And once a week to just open it up for people to come in so that they can pray for them and their needs. And over 2,900 homes opened their home to worship daily. Isn't that amazing? God is doing some incredible things around the world. It's important that we see. You know, 300 years ago or more, there was a missionary by the name of William Carey that left England and went to India. And that was the beginning of what we call modern missions. And God began a paradigm that was very powerful. And churches were planted, and the gospel of Jesus Christ began to be heard, and nations began to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and missionaries were sent, and they were sent under the power and the leadership of the colonial nations in that context. And they had liberty, they had freedom. They could go anywhere, and they could walk any place, and they went from the beachheads to the inland, so that you had China Inland Mission, Africa Inland Mission, and all these movements that were started, including India Inland Mission. And, you know, it was an amazing thing that God was doing. And about 60 years ago, some things changed. And in the process of that change, what happened was the national churches began to realize, man, the gospel is also our responsibility. And, you know, they began to actually preach the gospel, and they began to take, and God began to do something very uniquely in many parts of the world. And the national church began to actually take responsibility. 300 years ago, it used to be said and came to be coined that missions was about the West to the rest. Can you say that with me? The Western missionaries went all over the world and they preached the gospel. And people like myself and my dad came to know the Lord Jesus Christ because the missionaries from the West went to the rest of the world and established worshiping communities all over the world. So the gospel became incarnated inside those countries. Amazing, isn't it? And today, it's different. They moved from the West to the rest. And today, it's amazing what God is doing. It's actually from anywhere to everywhere and everywhere to anywhere. Can you say that with me? From?
Anywhere.
Everywhere to anywhere. One more time. From anywhere to everywhere to everywhere to anywhere. You know what that really means? It really means that the missionaries that did the job for the first 250 years, what they did was they evangelized the nations of the earth. But then when God opened the doors and made the nationals take responsibility for the gospel, South America started sending missionaries. Africa started sending missionaries. India started sending missionaries. China started sending missionaries. Singapore started sending missionaries. Koreans started sending missionaries. Indonesia is sending missionaries. And the Philippines is sending missionaries. Isn't that amazing? That's why it is from anywhere to everywhere and everywhere to anywhere. And what God is doing today is an amazing thing. We've got to realize that task force is no longer only from the West to the rest, but from anywhere to everywhere and everywhere to anywhere. Hallelujah. Amen. We ought to give the Lord a big hand, right? Because God is at work and the world is really coming to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. But that's not the end of it. There's an even greater dynamic that is taking place. And some of you may have heard the statement that God is bringing the world to our doorstep. Have you ever heard that statement? God is bringing the world to our doorstep. And he's taking us to all the world in very different ways than we've ever been into the world. I mean, there was a time when we had to go to the mission field only with a mission society. But today, God is taking people anywhere to everywhere. There's a couple in our family, in our church, many couples actually in our church, that have been displaced from our country into other countries of the world. But I want to tell you that our church doesn't pay for them to be missionaries. You know who pays? General Motors, Ford Motor Company, International School. Some of those companies are looking for people to go someplace so that they can go and take their expertise and be able to use their expertise over there. This one girl was telling me how she went to the Middle East, and in Dubai, she's a teacher. And all the kids, these Muslim kids, come to her, and they actually share all their problems, and she prays for them, and God does great miracles in their lives. And it's an amazing thing that they begin to start trusting in Jesus Christ. One day she went to a store, and when she went to the store, this guy saw that she had a cross on her. And, you know, he looked at her and he said, you know, as a good marketing guy, a good sales guy, he said, "Ma'am, I got the best pendant that you in my store. You don't have one like that, but mine is better than yours. I notice you have a cross on your chain." And so she said, "What is it?" And so he takes her down to the cabinet and he opens it up and he pulls it out. And you know what? He takes out this cross, but it has Jesus hanging on the cross. She looked at him and she said, "I don't like it." And that guy said, "But your chain doesn't have Jesus. And my chain has got Jesus. Mine is better than your chain." And then she looks at him and says, "You know why I don't like it? Because Jesus is not on the cross. He rose again." Amen. Isn't that amazing? God is doing different things today in our world. And so it went from the west to the rest, from anyone to everyone, and now it's going from anywhere to everywhere, but now it's going from anyone to everyone. It's very important for us to understand that, especially when you're talking about go strategy, all right? And you're thinking about, what is my responsibility in the local church? Is this the professionalized missionary that has to be the missionary that actually has to go and do the mission of God? Or is it anyone to everyone? And everyone to anyone? Because the world is changing, and we've got to keep asking ourselves the question, God, what is it that you're going to do? And what is it that you're doing that God wants us to be engaged? The message has never changed. The mission has never changed. It is go into all the world and preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and to make disciples. And as you make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. I don't think God wants us to change that mission, because he wants us to make disciples of his people anywhere and everywhere, anyone and everyone. Amen? But he also wants us to understand it goes on in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. It just doesn't happen in one place, but actually if you read it, when the power of the Holy Spirit of God will come upon you, and you shall, not an option, but an imperative, be my witnesses. And, you know, the translators, some of them have used the word both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the outermost part of the world. So I think what he's trying to say to the disciples is, when you get influenced, when you get infused, and the Holy Spirit of God is in you, you have no choice, you will become. And if we really understand what he's saying, you'll be my witnesses. And the church's responsibility is to simultaneously carry out the mission of God everywhere, all the time. By everyone, all the time. Hallelujah. Oh, half of you don't want to believe that, do you? But that is a true statement, my friend. It's from the Word of God, okay? And it's important for us to realize. And today, you don't have to go to India to be a cross-cultural missionary. You don't have to go to the Middle East to be a cross-cultural missionary. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go across the street, and you'll find people from India in New York City. Amen? So get a hold of them, all right? Make sure we get them to come to know Jesus Christ while they are here in America. And some of them will actually go back to my country. And when they're over there, they become God's very powerful instrument, because we have made disciples of those people when God brought them to us. But also don't ever think that God can't take you as an individual. You as an individual can actually go online and look up some international jobs. And when you find these international jobs that are available, sign up and say, man, God wants me to go to the Middle East. You know who are reaching the people in the Middle East? It's the Filipino maids that go into the homes of families that are ministering to the children and the wives, and people are coming to Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? No missionary is paying some of them. No mission society is sending them. They're just signing up on the internet, getting these jobs. What would it take for the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world is an understanding that what he did 300 years ago is different what he's doing today. And that his vision is that somehow that the glory of God, you know, you have Nelson and his wife over here in your country. They're no ordinary people. They're missionaries that God has sent them here. We have people like that from our church in different parts of the world who are actually sponsored by somebody else, and God is bringing them, and he's allowing them to be missionaries in different parts of the world. In the same way, anyone in this church can be a missionary in any part of the world, because God is doing something very powerful in our generation. Amen? So what is his vision? And I've been saying it's about the glory of God to cover the earth as the waters would cover the sea. Amen? How does this glory actually permeate? And very quickly, I won't take you much longer, okay? I don't want you to get nervous, all right? I'll do maybe another 45 minutes and then we'll be done, all right? But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is talking about this ever-increasing glory of God. He's talking about in verse, if you look at the last verse of that chapter, in chapter 3, he says, "And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another, for his coming from the Lord who is the Spirit." From the day the Spirit of God broke into our heart, the glory of God has the capacity to actually be in presence of any man, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, anywhere, all the time. If we would allow that Spirit of God that has invaded in us to be revealed through our lives. The problem is, it's veiled, it's covered, it's blocked. And we have to ask ourselves the question, how is Paul suggesting that we unveil this ever-increasing glory that is inside the heart of a believer or inside the life of a believer or inside a believer who is being empowered by the Holy Spirit of God that is dwelling within him? All right? Let me give you three quick ideas that the Apostle Paul is giving you. If you look in this chapter, you'll see really the dynamic is Moses is revealing the glory of God, and he's bringing these tablets of glory to the people of God, and he's saying that when those tablets were able to reveal the glory of God, the law was able to reveal the glory of God, how much more the Spirit of God is able to reveal the glory of God. If the Spirit dwells within us, then that Spirit has the capacity to reveal God's glory anywhere, everywhere, all the time, every time, by anybody, so that the knowledge of the glory of God will begin to radiate and become accessible to every man, woman, boy, and girl, okay? So three principles. Principle number one, look at it with me. I forgot to mark this. I think it's verse number 16. Verse 16 says, "But when we turned to the Lord." But when you turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. The first thing that we have to remember is that God is looking for us to turn to him. I don't know what you think about what happened at the Garden of Eden, but I think something very significant happened. Now, sometimes we miss it. We talk about it, but we don't really appropriate the reality of what happened in the Garden of Eden. When you look at chapter 1 and 2 of Genesis, you know what you have? You have Adam and Eve under the authority of God. God is ruling over their lives. There's nobody else there to rule over them, not even themselves, and they enjoy the presence of God. They enjoy the fellowship of God. And in the cool of the day, God comes and speaks with them, and they are naked and feel no shame. There's a total different existence over there, okay? And then comes along this guy, Satan, and he begins to draw them away. And as they begin to listen to the voice of Satan, they turn to Satan, away from God. And you know what happened? They disobeyed God, and they moved away from the authority of God in their life. And I think what the Apostle Paul is helping us understand in almost all of his writing, it's more than just receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and putting him inside of your heart. I think what he's saying to us is, guys, I want you to understand there are so many things that rule your life. He says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that the will of God is good. It is acceptable." And John says, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world, for all that is in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life." And what happens to us is we are under these authorities, the lust, the authority of the flesh, the authority of the world. I tell people, if you want to really find out who's running your life, find out who's pressing your buttons. And if you're jumping every time your spouse presses it, I'm not going to say wife, but I'll say every time your spouse presses it, then my suggestion is maybe your life is not under the authority of God, it's under the authority of your wife. And if you're doing that as a husband, ruling your wife and not letting God to actually have rule over her life, then I think it's so important that we ask ourselves, have I understood the word of God? And what God is saying, if we are going to unveil God's glory in our life, you know what has to happen? We've got to turn to God. And this morning, I want to encourage you. The more and the more and the more, I was even talking this morning at breakfast, and we were saying, how did Katie actually pick such significant missionaries and engage them in a very strategic process of empowering them? And I believe it comes because there was this clear awareness that God rules over the life of an individual. And guys, it's so important that if the glory of God is going to rule over our lives, we've got to let God run our lives. Amen? Amen. Principle number two. He says over there, and then he says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, there is freedom, and all, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God. You know what I'd like to suggest? Just like Moses, when he went up into the mountain, when we who are infused by the Holy Spirit of God that comes into our lives and we are liberated from the power of darkness, that we learn to stay in the presence of God to reveal the glory of God. See, what happened to Moses, he went up into the mountain and he spent so many hours and time with God that God's spirit and glory just radiated over the man's life. And when he came down, you know what happened? His glory was just reflecting the glory of God, and the people couldn't look at Moses anymore, and he had to cover his face. Being in the presence of God, how much time do I spend in God's presence? You know, if the glory of God is going to be revealed in my life, somehow I need to find out. The Word of God says, and Jesus, early in the morning, even before the sun got out, he would be in the presence of the Father, and he did nothing but accept what the Father asked him to do. And I'm thinking every day when God got up in the morning, God told Jesus, I want you to do this. And that's why he met Zacchaeus. And the Word of God says so clearly that he intentionally went into the town and he went out of his way and he stopped there at the tree and he knew Zacchaeus was at the top over there because God already told him this short guy is going to be over there. And he said, stop him in his tracks and talk to him. You know what else? When you read in John chapter 4 and Jesus was supposed to go through Samaria, and you know it was not typical of all the Jews walking through Samaria, Jesus says, it's necessary that I go. It's God's intended purpose that I go through there. And he passes through Caesarea, and when he gets through Samaria, and when he gets there, his disciples are hungry, and he doesn't leave town till he does what the Father had already determined that he should do. You know why? Because he was in the presence of God, and God spoke to him. And it's so important that if the glory of God is going to be revealed in our heart, that we begin to come to the place not only to accept God's authority over our lives, but to continuously ask ourselves, how can I keep in tune with God and allow him to allow myself to be in his presence so his glory that reflects on me will be revealed wherever I am. The third thing, okay? Look at the third thing that he says over here. Now he says, beholding the glory of God and being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. He says in verse 18, and we all with unveiled faces behold the glory of God and are being transformed into the same image. Isn't that amazing what God is saying? We are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord. When we come under the authority of God and God begins to tell us how to live our lives, it doesn't become hard. As long as we don't turn and we're still living in the old way, but we've heard, but we're not changed, it's very hard for God to transform us. But when we turn to God and say, God, you are having 100% over my life. I'm going to not stop listening to my friends. I'm going to stop listening to my inner being that says to me by the flesh that I need to be like this and do things like that. I'm stopped going to look at the world and saying, this is the standards of the world. I need to meet up and conform to them. I'm going to stop doing what others want me to do. And God, I'm going to listen to you. And the moment we start going, beginning to listen to us, we find a joyful opportunity to be in his presence. But then when we get into that presence of God, God's going to work over us. He's going to transform us. He's going to break that pot of clay many, many times. And every time he breaks it, he's going to take stuff out. You know, he's going to take stuff out. And then you know what? His glory is going to shine. But something happens to us that we don't want to let everybody know that glory. So you know what we do? In this case, it was Moses. You know what he was doing? The glory was fading away. And he didn't want them to know that it was fading away. So he covered himself up. And you know what happens to us? We walk into this relationship with God, and then suddenly we begin to say to ourselves, gee, I'm losing a lot of fun. And we start covering ourselves up. We don't declare who we are. We don't reveal his glory. And we cover ourselves up. And what God says is, when the Holy Spirit of God comes in and he starts transforming us, he starts unveiling us, he starts stripping us off, and he starts opening us up. And the more we say, okay, Lord, not my will, thy will be done. Hear my Lord. Do whatever you want to do with it. And we allow God to do it. You know what happens? The glory of God that is inside of us is being unveiled. And his presence is being experienced and known. And then the knowledge of God is beginning to spread and cover the earth. The question is, do I understand what God is doing? Have I become a traditionalist and I do things the way that I always did it? Or do I come to a place in my life where I realize I've turned to God? And I've got to stay in tune with God, listen to him, and as he begins to transform my life, am I willing to make those changes? And if I'm willing, you know what God comes? He comes in and he transforms me and empowers me with his spirit, and the spirit of God begins to be revealed through me. Hallelujah! Are we ready to let God reveal his glory through our lives by letting our lives turn to him? If you've never turned to God, this morning may be a good day for you to consider, how can I turn away from this world, away from myself, and say, I understand, God. Satan took me away from you. I want to be under your authority and let God rule our lives. We have turned to him, but we've been covering up because we want to be like the world and be led by the world. Maybe you're going to say to God, Father, there's nothing greater than revealing you, because there's only you in all this world. So Lord, this morning I'm going to unveil. I'm going to let you unveil. And I want to rededicate my life and allow you to take me and use me. And God will take us, anyone to everyone. Anyone to everyone. There's nobody in this hall that is exempt from revealing the glory of God or the knowledge of the glory of God. The question is, have I turned to him to understand it so that he can work in me and through me for his glory? Amen? Amen. Pastor?